Good stuff from Titans safety Kenny Vaccaro as they get ready for the Ravens on Saturday night, 7:15 kickoff our time in Baltimore. It'll be the second game of the day's action. First game will be the Vikings and 49ers. Minnesota kind of got a raw deal. Think about that. They had the last game on Sunday in New Orleans, and they have the first game on Saturday in the divisional round. And they have to fly to San Francisco.
Not easy. Not easy by any means.
But good conversation with Kenny Vaccaro. If you've not heard, Trey Smith has told everyone he is coming back for his senior season at Tennessee. So big news there on Rocky Top, the Trey Smith.
Yeah.
They get Cade Mays, trying to figure out if he's going to be eligible or not right away for next season, and Trey Smith back in the fold. Also, Mississippi State has found their guy. They went out to Washington State and grabbed Mike Leach, the crazy pirate. Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin in the state of Mississippi. Wow.
Are we going to go as far to say home run hire? But I don't know if I'll do that. But for them, considering what Ole Miss did, and as I said with Mitch, I mean, it's important to recruit outside the state, but you got to win the state too. That's going to help. I mean, they've leveled the playing field for sure by bringing in Mike Leach.
I was just looking at the odds for the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns. NFL teams are starting to name their coaches. Matt Rhule was announced as the new head coach yesterday and introduced in Carolina. We know Ron Rivera is in Washington. Mike McCarthy has already been introduced in Dallas. Joe Judge was announced and introduced in New York as the Giants head coach. And now the Browns are still searching. Sportsline odds have Josh McDaniels as the favorite, followed by Kevin Stefanski, Robert Saleh, Eric Bieniemy, Greg Roman, Jim Schwartz, Brian Daboll. That's your list.
McDaniels interviewing tomorrow, I believe, is what I saw.
Yep.
Look, if that's your guy, if that's who you've targeted, you don't let him leave without a contract. I mean, and I kind of feel like that's where it's going to go.
Probably so.
They don't let him leave the building without, because as they have said, they can bring in their own front office guy, and I think that's what happens.
Predators in Chicago tonight in the United Center to take on the Blackhawks. It'll be a 7:30 start. I'll have pregame for you at 6:30. It will be shown also on NBC Sports Network. We had Pierre McGuire on the show earlier today. He's going to be in between the benches. Of course, also, though, Fox Sports Tennessee will be showing it locally here as well. The man we talk to every Thursday at this time, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. He does it all up there, and he's brought to you every week by Carrie Zier, RE/MAX Elite. Elliot, how you doing?
Good. This one I'm going to charge you for. I gave the Monday one for free. This one you got to pay for, so I'll try to be doubly good.
That's fair. That is more than fair. More than fair, and we will honor that commitment with today's appearance. You know, it's been a crazy week, as you know. We thought we would be coming on here and talking to you about our, you know, we talked to you right after the Winter Classic last week when we were still in Dallas, and you know how great that was. And just think about, from your weekly appearances with us, how much the storyline is going to change. We've talked to you about this season so much. So when the news came out Monday evening, what was your initial reaction?
You know, I was surprised. For a couple different reasons. Number one is I went back and I looked. When was the last time David Poyle, you know, fired a head coach? And if you think about it, in the middle of the season, and if you think about it, he's been a GM almost nonstop for, you know, close to 40 years, right? So you know, the only break was he was let go in Washington in 1997 until Nashville started playing, even though he'd been hired. So it's been 35 years since 25 years since he fired a coach in the middle of a season, not January 27th, 1994. So, I mean, to me, that was one thing. I didn't know if I'd see it. So that's number one. Number two, I think the time of day kind of surprised me, because normally when this happens, the coach gets fired first thing in the morning, right? And, you know, you guys were out west and you were coming back, so I kind of understood the timing a little bit later. But I think between those two things, I was caught a little bit by surprise, because, you know, you weren't expecting it. You thought that, if anything, he would try to make a trade first, and I think he did. He couldn't get it done, and then you have to do something, and, you know, we know that the coach becomes a factor when he can't make a deal.
No doubt about it. David Poile joins us every week on the show. It's normally on Tuesdays. Tuesday was the big press conference, so he joined us yesterday. Yep. On the show, and like you, I mean, we've admitted, I mean, I was stunned Monday night. I mean, just because of what you said. I mean, we talked to, I've known David Poile and talked to him and covered him for 20 years in this market, and I knew that maybe the storyline changes, the narrative changes, depending on how this season ends, that's one thing. But to tell me on January 5th or 6th or whenever it was that he would be firing Peter Laviolette, I would have said, there's no chance. It's not going to happen. Not in season. I was wrong, clearly.
I think you and I feel the exact same way. It's not what we expected to occur. Not at all.
And by the way, we were just kind of laughing during the break before we brought you on. I can't remember when something like this has happened. We get off the air, and several hours later, we learn of Peter Laviolette, the coach, has been fired. And before we get to the airwaves, because of reports like yours and others, before we get on the airwaves at Bridgestone Arena the next day, we already knew the next head coach. So we had a coach fired and a hire while we were off the airwaves. I can't remember that ever happening either.
You know what that says? Don't get off the air.
Well, we did have a lot of special programming on Monday night when all that happened. So what do you think of – you obviously are clued into a ton of hockey circles. You talk to a lot of people. What do you make of John Hines being the next guy?
Well, we had talked on this show about how if there was going to be a coaching change, that John Hines was going to be high on your list. I don't think that was a big surprise at all. I think the only thing that I – even thought about would be, would you guys go for Peter DeBoer? DeBoer's out there. He would be available. That was the only other thing I was going to consider is, would you go for Peter DeBoer instead of John Hines? We know about all the connections, Jeff Kelty and him at school. Although I had to tell you, I didn't know until Monday that they were roommates, and not just teammates. David Poile's connection to USA Hockey, which I don't necessarily think is a deal maker or breaker, but I think it's something he likes to support if it makes sense to do it. His connection with Ray Shiro and Tom Fitzgerald, you get an honest opinion, right? Guys, you know, they'll tell you the truth, good and bad. I just think that when you're going to make this kind of a change, and also it does put a bit more of a financial strain on your organization until Peter Laviolette gets rehired, and I think he will get rehired somewhere, you're on the hook for his salary until the end of next season. And John Hines, I don't think you have to pick up all of his money that he's due until the end of next season, but you pick up a chunk of it. And I think that, any organization is going to look and say, okay, this is an expenditure and it's not an inexpensive one. So if you're going to have to do that, you make the best call you can think of, based on all the information you know. This is a guy that they knew, they were comfortable with. I'm not surprised they went in that direction. I think this, the one thing I disagree with in some of the commentary is that it's a recycled hire. And, the base English is true, but it's not like, this is a guy who's been at five jobs. He's been at one. He got them to the playoffs once. That had goals for this year, that were unreasonable to me. I don't think that all of New Jersey's failings this year can be blamed on him.
Elliot, we're going to put you on hold.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
It was breaking.
Elijah, I don't know what's going on. Can you check with Elliot and see maybe if we need to do another line or?
Yeah, that was weird. He was good, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. Yep. He was giving a good answer on John Hines too.
Well, to the recycled. Yeah. I get it. He was let go last month, but I don't think, when I think of recycled coaches, I don't really think of John Hines.
No,
I mean, get it. It is another job, and he was just a head coach. But
I mean, you want to go through
a recycled list? I mean,
Peter Laviolette is that. I don't mean that as an insult.
No, but
that's just he's had, I mean, multiple stops before he got here. So the Islanders, the Hurricanes, the Flyers,
Preds, and now fill in the blank. Whatever's next.
Yeah, I mean, so look, that's a. And you see that a lot in hockey of multiple stops. I mean, Barry Trotz has now had three jobs in his career.
Let's see if we have a better connection with Elliot. Elliot, I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to make sure we could hear you.
Apologies. Yeah, I don't know what happened there all of a sudden. But
yep, you're good.
Like,
loud
like
and clear.
I was saying, like, you can't blame – like, the captain goes down with the ship, right? Like, you're the coach. You take the responsibility. But I think it's crazy to look at everything that happened in New Jersey and say – that's John Hines' fault. You know, I think that, look, what are the things that ailed you guys? Not 5-on-5 play. Your penalty kill has not been great. He had one bad year on the penalty kill in New Jersey. Otherwise, his penalty kill in New Jersey was pretty good. Your power play has not been great. He had mixed results, but he had a couple years in New Jersey that were good. I think you hope that whatever he did there that worked, you can bring. But, you know, the number one thing, guys, is, and I give credit to our stats people at Sportsnet, there, if you look at all the coaches fired in the last 2 years, only one coach, and that was Randy Carlyle in Anaheim, was fired with a team save percentage by their goalies over 900. If you don't get saves, you're a worse coach.
Interesting. We've seen these moves work. And it sparks a new direction, a new voice. It sparks good things. And we've seen these moves not work. Can John Hines turn this team around this season?
Well, you have to believe it. I mean, I'll tell you this. We were in last night because we're working our Wednesday night game, which up here was Toronto-Winnipeg. And I'm not going to lie to you. The score on Tuesday was concerning, 6-2. Like, you always think Brian Burke calls it the dead cat bounce. That, you know, you get a bounce after your coach has changed, and you didn't get that. And, you know, I think that's a little bit worrisome. This is one you got to have tonight against Chicago. You know, the one thing I would say is I look at your roster. It should be better than it is. But I don't think you need me to come on as, quote-unquote, an insider and say that. I watched his scrum yesterday, Hines scrum after practice, and he talked about the top six skilled players and, you know, trying to do some certain things to get them to be more in control of the puck in terms of the things they do, you know, use it more. I you know, under Laviolette, a lot of your shots came from the defense. It seems to me, reading between the lines, that what Hines wants to do is have your forward shoot more as opposed to look for the defense. It makes sense. Your defensemen are really skilled, although it's a little bit different with Ellis out of the lineup. But it sounds to me like one of the things he's going to try to change is your forwards control a bit more of the action in the offensive zone. On paper, it makes sense. We'll see.
Total disclaimer up front. We're not fans. I'm asking the question. I'm going to tell you, I'm not a fan. I've been very critical of him over the years. Mike Milbury, I think he hurts the game sometimes with his comments. That's just my opinion. But I'm also not going to dismiss everything he says just because I feel a certain way. He had some very strong comments about the Predators Monday night in their game during pregame and one of the intermissions. And one of the things that one of his strong comments was about them up the middle, basically their centermen in Johansson and Duchesne and Turris, and did not have very flattering comments about them. So with that being said, what do you make of that? I know you're probably aware of what he said, and what do you think?
Yeah, I heard about it. As usual, I read things on Twitter, and then I went and searched out the video to watch it. Look, I mean, the Turris thing is – we don't need to revisit that. We all know what's going on. For whatever reason, he hasn't been the same player in Nashville. And I actually do think that's going to be one of the more interesting storylines is, does Kyle rediscover anything under Hines? You know, I would bet you all of our houses, although I haven't seen them to compare to see if it's a fair bet, but I would bet you all of our houses that one of the first things that he did was go and meet with Kyle Turris and say, whatever happened here before, it's over. And you have a fresh start, and we're going to try to make this work. And I think it's as incumbent on Kyle Turris as it is on John Hines to make that work. I don't think we need to talk about that too much more. You know, Ryan Johansson, I will tell you, before he got hurt in 2017, he was playing the best hockey I've ever seen him play. Because I think that the way you play against a guy like Ryan Getzlaff says a lot about how you are as a player, and Ryan Kesler at the time too. And he was going up against those two guys, and he was giving them everything they could handle. Ryan is a polarizing guy. There are a lot of old school guys in hockey who don't like him because of what happened in Columbus. I'm not like that. I think that business is business, and you have to do what you want to do on the ice. And if you do it there, nobody has anything to say. But I do know that there are people who want to see more from him more consistently. I think that when we talked about before about John Hines, is that he said that he makes it very clear he wants his forwards to possess the puck more, to shoot more, to be a little more selfish in a good way. Let's see. I think that is a challenge, and I think that I'm curious to see, now given new opportunities to maybe play the puck more, will those guys do more? But I think the one thing about Johansson is, in particular, is he's always going to have to live with people who question him or doubt him because of what happened in Columbus. And maybe it's not fair, but that's life. And also, I've seen a great player there. I believe he is a great player. But when you're losing and the coach gets fired, that's the job. When you're the highest paid players, like those two guys are among them, you just have to live with that criticism, and you have to do your talking on the ice, and you can't worry about what I say or Mike Milbury says or anything like that. You know, Duchesne, you know, the thing is, like, it's a first year of a big deal. I'm sure he feels the pressure. I'm sure all those guys know if they're performing or not performing. The team isn't doing very well. The best players take the heat. That's life. You just have to shut everybody else up.
Talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, brought to you by Carey Zeyer, RE/MAX Elite. And something that we've talked about is defense with this team. And a name that stood out to me that they added to the coaching staff was Rob Scuderi. And the experience that he has, he hasn't been out of the game as a player all that long. What do you think he brings to this staff?
Well, I think that, you know, I don't know Rob Scuderi that well. I covered him quite a bit. I always thought that he was a really smart guy. He had a great insight into the game. He was a really honest player. When he played in Pittsburgh, they called him the Piece. That was his nickname, because they jokingly said that he was the final piece of the puzzle. And he would always laugh at that whenever that got out. And, you know, but I'll tell you what he was. He was an honest, like, rock hard, like, you know, he was talented, don't get me wrong, but the reason he got as far as he did was because he worked his whatever terminology you want to use off, and he never cut corners. And, you know, I suspect that the Nashville wanted here was maybe somebody who'd been in the league a little more recently, maybe somebody who was closer in age to some of the players, and somebody who maybe some of those guys knew, and we're hoping that it can bounce off whatever he sees can bounce off from him to them. You know, you made two changes on the bench. It was the head coach Laviolette and his assistant Kevin McCarthy, a very good coach. You had to put a new guy there. I wonder if they just wanted somebody that maybe some of these players would know.
What do you think the next step for Laviolette will be? Because I don't think he's done by any means. I think he gets another job. But when do you think that happens?
Well, I think that I agree with you. Like, if you look at his record, he wins everywhere he goes right away, right? His success is quick. And, you know, teams will think that's very valuable. You know, I think the one thing is, like, you know, I've had a couple people wonder if New Jersey might be that team. The only thing I could see with New Jersey is that they are going to take a long, some time here to figure out, you know, where they're going and what they're doing. I don't know if they're going to, you know, want to necessarily, if they really believe that might be the best fit, because they may not be in a position where they're going to be contending. They might be rebuilding, and I wouldn't know how they'd feel about that. I could see a couple of different situations. Depending on how Bob Bugner finishes out the year in San Jose, I could see that one potentially for him. I mean, we'll also see, is there a team that's good that flames out early in the playoffs and says, hey, you know what? We think that Peter Laviolette, with his history, can be the guy who gets us out of the first or second round and gets us farther. I think he might end up waiting to the end of the season. But, you know, the first team that kind of jumps off the top of my head is someone potentially like San Jose, depending on how they finish the year. Because people know that Laviolette goes in and makes an immediate impact.
Well, you can't say our 2020 appearances haven't started off with a bang. Winter Classic and a new head coach.
It has not been boring. Yeah.
It has not been boring at all. We appreciate the visits as always. We will send a check and talk to you next week.
No problem, guys, and have a great week, okay?
All right, thank you, Elliot. You too. Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. We do enjoy his visits Thursdays at 1. We'll come back. We're going to give you a chance to win some Predators tickets. We'll also check in with Willie in Chicago, and there's some news out there we'll pass along as well. All that coming up next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Checking with Willie in about 10 minutes or so. Good stuff from Elliot Freeman, as always. We're going to give you a chance now to be in the building for the next home game. That'll be next Thursday against the Anaheim Ducks.
Quack, quack.
The final appearance between the Predators and the Ducks next Thursday. They've already played twice this year, so that will do it next Thursday. But you must answer this question. Elliot Freeman, who just joined us from Sportsnet, said there were two teams. He specifically brought up two teams that might be good fits for Peter Laviolette down the road. Name both of those teams. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Name the two teams that Elliot Freeman said might be potential fits for Peter Laviolette. You can't text the answer in. You must call in and tell Elijah Campbell the answer. But you have to name them both to win the tickets next Thursday at Bridgestone Arena.
It's a twofer. Must get both.
And I believe next Thursday is also Fan Foodie Night. Hello. Ooh. You know what that means? 50% off food and drinks.
That's good stuff.
Hello.
Right there. You're there for that.
Oh, I'm all about that. I think Fan Foodie Night's been a hit. Everybody I've talked to, like, they're digging 50% off food and drinks. Some other news that we learned while we were talking to Elliot Freeman. Falcons tight end coach Mike Mularkey, former head coach of the Titans, former head coach of the Bills, former head coach of the Jags, has decided to, hold on, I'm going to sneeze.
Way to leave the people hanging.
And then it went away. He also played 8 years in the league as a player. He has told folks that he is retiring.
Calling it a career. Well, how about that? Look, in all seriousness, and I tweeted this out, you know, I enjoyed the short time he was here, you know, dealing with him. He was a nice guy. But he, you know, as a head coach, it just didn't work out for him the way that obviously he had planned it. But you can also say in all three of his stops, I don't know if he ever really got the full opportunity that he deserved. I mean, he was the head coach for two full seasons here. Jacksonville was a dumpster fire. And Buffalo, didn't he opt out?
I'll just say this. I didn't get to know Mike Mularkey when he was here.
Yeah.
I do wonder, because I always look into things. You know this. I always look into things on why something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question I would like to know, without being around Mike Mularkey for any period of time, why does that stuff happen?
Right.
Like, why were the stints
It's a fair question.
Short?
It's fair.
When he's made the case that it, you know, he did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But why? Why were those stints short? Why did, you know, how on earth do you explain 9-7 and getting to the second round of the playoffs in your second year and getting shown the door?
Well,
like,
I think
why?
Well, I think some of that can go to your theory that you gave the other day with Peter Laviolette, that he was probably asked to make some changes on his staff and he didn't want to.
Well, I think we know that to be true.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, you've seen an offense.
But you would think that you've earned the right when you're talking about going to the second round of the playoffs.
Well,
you've earned the right not to be told to change. Change in staff usually comes when you underachieve.
Right.
They didn't underachieve.
Well, here's the other part of this equation. The general manager didn't hire him.
I understand that.
So that is that's a part of it, that the GM is like, you're not my guy.
Well, the general manager was technically, but as I've told people, he was told
right.
He had to keep him.
Well, because I mean, Mularkey took over for Wisenhunt. Wisenhunt was a dumpster fire, as you know, and Mularkey takes over, and you see improvement.
I reported that many times on the show back then. The new GM was going to have to keep Mike Mularkey.
Yeah.
That was part of the deal.
Right.
If you weren't on board, you weren't going to get the job.
But he, and I think many speculate that he always had Vrabel in the back of his mind of that's his guy, of, okay, if I ever get the green light that I can go get my guy, that's who I'm going to go get. And I think it got to a point where he got the green light. So, and then he You did that.
No, I didn't.
No, you did.
I did not. Elijah put that up
on our call screener.
And I told him I'm not saying that.
Here I am trying to wax poetically make a point and do my job. And I start laughing because of things.
The minute Elijah, I was like, I'm not reading that.
I know.
I'm not reading that.
Well, that's what made me laugh. Like, you go, I'm not reading that, and then I look up and I start laughing. Thanks, Darren.
Mark on Twitter tweets at me, @DMAC_1025. Surprised neither of you nor Elliot Freeman brought up the obvious destination for Lavi, which is Seattle. Relationship with Ron Francis is strong.
I was
just saying, well, we've brought that up on this show. We kind of just laid that in Elliot's lap to see how he would answer it.
Yeah.
We didn't want to, but we've said that on this show since all this went down. But Elliot didn't go there. He brought up New Jersey and San Jose, which was the answer to our question. So congratulations to Kevin, who called in and correctly told Elijah that would be Kevin. Elijah it was the Devils and the Sharks. Where was Kevin from?
Here in Nashville.
Kevin from Nashville.
Around
Nashville. Who said Sharks and Devils. So, Kevin, you're the winner. We'll see you Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. Next Thursday, not today.
The 16th.
There you go. If you want to read it, I mean, Chase, you can.
Nope.
Okay.
Let's go to Willie.
We'll come back and head up to Chicago. And we'll talk to Willie D. We will find out how so far the first road trip with new head coach John Hines is going down and what he expects tonight against the Blackhawks. We do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We had Mitch Light in studio earlier today talking about the national championship game. You know, Clemson, LSU, that's Monday night in New Orleans. You know how they do, Chase, the coaches' film room?
Right.
on ESPNU. Yeah, who we got in there? Have you seen the list?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not.
But I'm always intrigued by this. The list is comprised of two Big 12 coaches.
Okay.
A ACC coach, an ACC coach, and an SEC coach. So two Big 12s, an SEC, and an ACC.
Well, let's say, SEC coach.
The Big 12 coach gets a lot of notoriety. A lot of people like to talk about him, kind of like Mike Leach.
A lot of
kind of like Lane Kiffin.
That kind of notoriety?
Yeah. He's got
personality.
Well, or he's got a mullet.
Oh. Yeah. Gundy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State will be one of the coaches in the film room.
The SEC.
Gary Patterson of TCU will be one of the coaches in the film room. Boston College's new coach, Jeff Hafley, will be one of the coaches in the film room. And the SEC coach will be?
Dan Mullen.
Dan Mullen is incorrect. SEC East, though, you are correct.
In the East. It's not Pruitt.
You're right. It is not.
Okay, good.
Could you imagine?
For
4 hours of
Mason's
Jeremy Pruitt?
Done it before.
Oh, you think Derek Mason?
They've had him before.
Well, you're right, and he's coming back.
Nice. Well, he did a good job with it.
Yeah.
When they had him before.
So. Let's go to Chicago. Willie Donick is standing outside the United Center in the pouring rain. It's dedication to the show. Willie, what's up?
What's up, guys?
It is raining in Chicago, right?
A light rain, yes.
Okay.
It has been sprinkling throughout the day. I am back at the hotel, though.
Okay. I was just painting a picture that, dedication.
Standing
out in the elements.
We've spent our time. We've spent our time on the streets of Chicago braving the elements.
Yep. And I see you yet again, another member of this show, and I feel pretty lucky that I have not been clipped by Hal Gill. It looks like you've already been clipped by Hal Gill on this trip.
I have, and shoulder is a little sore today. I had to do a little physical therapy in the workout room this morning, but I should be good to go tonight. No problems.
What was that spin move you were trying to do?
Yeah, what was that all about?
Well, you have to check your surroundings. You know, I know that Hal is lurking somewhere, so it's just another way to check all directions before I did the chuck.
It didn't work. Mm.
It didn't work.
Still got pinned or popped.
He is ninja-like in how he comes out around the corner.
Nice spinorama, though. We'll give you a good grade on that. So how's the first road trip under new head coach John Hines shoring up?
Well, it's really a time of first impressions, right? It's only been a couple of days, but everybody is forming their first impressions. So what are the observations that you see? Well, number one, practice yesterday was all about trying to make the tweaks, as he calls them, in the style of play that the Predators, he thinks, need to play better. And that's what he was brought in to do. So it's not a surprise to anybody. It wouldn't make any sense to change the coach if you weren't going to change the way they played a little bit. So there are some things that that he is doing. They had some eraser boards out. They watched film. They talked about it. Then they went on the ice and worked on it. Today they did not skate, which I thought that they might, but that is going to be basically his routine. If you practice the day before, there will be no mandatory morning skate the day of the game. But the other thing that you observe, and it's night and day based on what to compare to Peter Laviolette, is he is much more communicative to the media. Now, does that mean they're going to win more games? Or one way to do it is better than the other? No, but I think the media certainly sees a very different approach when it goes to communicating in the press conferences and things like that, interviews. And so you do get a pretty clear sense of what he's doing because of that. He's been very upfront with his approach.
Yeah, and I know this is going to come off bad, but I mean, Tuesday night's a prime example to what you're talking about. That a 6-2 loss, I mean, his press conference, and I realize it's first one, new job, new hire, but I mean that was about three Peter Laviolette loss press conferences, right? I mean that amount of time, I mean, especially after losses, Peter was not exactly one that would go to any great length after a loss, for sure. It's not a dig. It's just a fact.
We're talking about less than a minute, literally.
Oh, well, believe me, I know.
Right?
Yes, I know. we would time them. Sometimes it was 46 to 52 seconds after losses. So, once again,
that's just how the media will perceive him.
Yeah, it means nothing.
You're going to have the opportunity to try to understand more of what's happening out there because there is less of a filter with that. And at the same time, I think John Hines is very concise in how he delivers his message to the media. And one thing we know about Peter Laviolette, and again, this is not to beleaguer or belabor the comparison between the two, but it's sort of inevitable. Peter Laviolette was fantastic at delivering his message to the players. That's one of the things. You've seen it on film. He doesn't say it to the media. He's completely different in front of his team than he is to the media.
Yep.
So only time will tell whether John Hines is delivering his message to the players. But the first impression from the players, because inevitably they're asked about what they think of John Hines, is I think they are very positive overall about him so far. They understand what he is trying to do. Now, this will be an interesting game because this is the first game that they are actually trying to implement the changes he's making, and yet they've only had one practice to do it. The players, and there's a good interview that Nick Bonino did with Brooks Bratton that will be on the Predators website along those lines. It said, players who are professional play at this level, they have all played this style that they're going to try to play at one time or another. The question is, how quickly can they start to change their habits and all get on the same page to do it right? So we'll see if they get the immediate return tonight or if it still takes a little bit of time. It's probably somewhere in between.
Okay, with that being said, you're talking about structure and habits.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit different what I'm going to ask you. We saw Tuesday nothing really changed with, I guess, the lineup because, he was introduced that morning. I mean, he just walked in. He's basically was going to keep everything the same, and you go out and do what you've been doing, and then I'm going to sit back and observe, and then we'll go from there. So now that he's sat back and observed a game, and they've had a practice, as you mentioned, do you anticipate the lineups looking different tonight in Chicago?
The line combinations and the defensive pairs will not look a lot different, I don't believe.
Okay.
I think what is going to be different, they are going to change, and he said this to the media. He did not keep this a secret. He said they are going to change the way they play in the defensive zone. There will be some adjustments there, and there will be some adjustments in how they break out. So he said it. That's what they worked on in practice yesterday. They worked on how they break out of the offensive zone. And they worked on defensive zone coverage. Those were the two areas. And he even got a little bit more specific. He said, let's make sure that we're – and it matches up perfectly with what we heard in our interview, guys, yesterday with David Poile. I think the general sense is let's not shoot ourselves in the foot here. Let's not beat ourselves. Let's do the things and allow our talent to win the game for us and not try too hard to make the high-risk play that a lot of times leads to the errors or the mistakes that have snowballed against this team. So, once again, it's the right idea, right? You got to try to attack the issue or else there wouldn't have been a change to begin with. But the question is, are these the correct adjustments and how quickly can the team take to them?
Willie, another thing that I'm going to be curious to see how he handles is injuries. Peter Laviolette always played it very close to the vest. And I know it's typical in hockey, you have upper body, lower body, things like that. But would he give more of an update? And, Ryan Ellis, Dante Fabro, Colton Sissons all are out. And I'm wondering how close some of those guys are to coming back.
Yeah, it's I don't think you'll see any of those guys tonight. I think it's pretty obvious that Sissons and Ryan Ellis are still on the injured list. I don't even think Ryan Ellis would be eligible to come off even if he wanted to. But, there has not been a question posed to John Hines about injuries yet. And, of course, this is the second time really or third time we've ever dealt with him. So, like I said, I don't think you're going to see a lot of changes to that. There might be a tweak at the forward spot, but we will see. But in terms of your question, I think it is, you know, in the big picture, it's essential that they get Fabro and Ellis back in as quickly as possible. My sense is they're not, you know, you don't know with Ellis, right? We kind of have an idea, even though they haven't come out and said it, what it is with him. And so you just have to hope that it's on the shorter end and not the longer end, because we know how dangerous that can be. It can linger. It's hard to put a timetable on that. With Fabro, you know, I get the sense he's getting closer. He was observing practice yesterday. So I don't think he is in a catastrophic state where he's going to be out, you know, several weeks or months. But I don't know that you'll see him tonight.
Goaltender, do you think they go Pekka again? I know they didn't have a skate, so you may not have a great answer for this. But do you think they go with him, or UC Saros has also played well in Chicago in the past?
John Hines was asked about how he has his philosophy on using the goalies, and he did not get specific, but he said only that we're going to need both of these guys. Every team has to have two good ones. This is the days of riding one guy are over, and you have to utilize both. I would not be surprised to see Pekka Rinne come right back in there tonight. It was hard to gauge. They did not skate this morning, but you could kind of get a sense of what was going on, you know. There were some guys that went out on the ice, so I'm leaning towards guessing that it's Pekka, but I don't know that to be true 100%. But I do think that you're not going to see a drastic change in how Rinne and Saros are utilized under the new coach. I think you'll see them both quite a bit.
Willie, I just want to let you know that I'm looking currently at a tweet that was just put out there, and it's Mike Leach on a private jet heading to Starkville, Mississippi. He is the new Mississippi State head football coach. It's going to be fun in the West. Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine the Egg Bowl next year? And can you imagine, let's just start with SEC Media Day.
Oh, yeah.
How much fun that's going to be.
yeah.
Sign me up.
Wow. That's a good point. We didn't even bring that up. SEC yeah. Media Days just got a whole lot more fun. Enjoy the game tonight. And
also Mike Mularkey announcing his retirement. I don't know if Willie's heard that.
Yeah.
I did see that. I saw that. And I want to wish Coach Mularkey well. I think he is a class person, a good person. He had his time in the league a long time as a player first and then a coach. But I enjoyed dealing with him. I can't speak for you guys, but I know it was tough going out the way he did, you know, winning a playoff game and then losing your job. But he did a lot of good things, I think, for a lot of the players that are still on the roster on the Titans.
Well, we as a show have asked him to come on the show tomorrow. So if he says yes, then you can tell him that tomorrow.
Outstanding. I will see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. Enjoy the game, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, guys.
Later, Willie.
Willie Dunnick in Chicago. Predators Blackhawks tonight, 7:30 puck drop. Pregame at 6:30. Everything right here on 102.5 The Game. I want to talk to you about the good folks at USS, United Structural Systems, foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area, Middle Tennessee, since 1994. They've got more than 18,000, let me repeat, more than 18,000 satisfied homeowners. Yeah, that's a lot. A lot. Do you have... When you hear waterproofing, you're thinking, what does that mean? Well, do you have bowing basement walls? Do you have standing water in a crawl space? Do you have musty odors or rot in floor joists? Condensation on ductwork? Cracks in basement floors? I mean, there's a whole list. And why is this stuff happening? Well, maybe you have poor drainage or surface water floods over walls or underground pressure forcing water into the basement. There's all kinds of reasons. They're the experts. If something like this is going on, your house may be telling you something, maybe trying to tell you something, and that's where you're going to have to pick up the phone and get the experts out there. Yeah, they are the experts. They have integrity that's important to them. They have a reputation that's important to them, and they care about the quality of work that they do. They have free estimates, too. Come on, let them come out, assess the situation. It's a free estimate. They're licensed and insured. All these are things a homeowner wants to hear. So if any of these things are happening to your home, pick up the phone and dial 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or you always can go to their website, usstn.com, to find out everything about them as they promise. We guarantee our best. Call USS. Well, I didn't think we could, you know, just keep this momentum going all week. It's been a crazy week.
Yeah.
Crazy guest list. I mean, yesterday, holy moly, Jeff Fisher, David Poyle, Chris Mason, Tim Hasselbeck.
And I'm working on
Ian Eagle. Today, Pierre Maguire, Kenny Vaccaro, Elliot Friedman. Mitch Light was in studio. Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad at all. And tomorrow, working on different things, but we already got Brian Billick at 10:15, Jack Youngblood at 11. I'm trying to add more to it. We have reached out to Mike Mularkey. So.
You just made the list. Pick six. Boy, pick six. We need it to be about pick 10 tomorrow. Really. Because you've got four NFL playoff games, the divisional round, right?
Right.
We've got the national championship game we're going to squeeze in there because that's Monday night. That's five games, and you know we like to have props.
Oh, yeah. We definitely love props.
I mean, I could do six questions on Titans, Ravens, and LSU Clemson props.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you're going to narrow it down.
Unfortunately, it's going to be it's going
to
be done, like, you have to do the games, you know, but so I'm unfortunately I just won't be able to do as many as I'd like to do.
I'll have to submit my picks via text because I will be I'll be on a plane.
You will be, and you'll be giving us coverage from Baltimore. You and Teron Davenport tomorrow night from 6 until 8 o'clock, Saturday from noon to 2. So we will have live coverage from Baltimore tomorrow night and on Saturday afternoon.
Yep. And then Saturday, Jared and the GM doing a special edition. They'll have the pregame show, so we'll add some flavor to that once we get to the stadium. So looking forward to it. You know, really excited to be a part of the coverage, and we'll see what happens. It's gonna be a fun game. I do think it's gonna be a really good game. So I know everybody wants to say, okay, Baltimore should win this. But as we know, and the Titans know firsthand against the Ravens, being the one seed doesn't mean anything. You still got to play the game. So this Titans team is determined. I think it's going to be fun.
I will say this. I thoroughly enjoyed the wild card weekend. I know the wild card weekend was awesome. I'm just going to give you my initial thoughts on this one. Remember how my this is what I know going into wild card weekend was at least two, probably three road teams are going to win?
Right.
I was right. Three road teams won.
Yep.
My this is what I know, even though we do that on Mondays. My gut is on this weekend, it's going to be a couple blowouts.
You think so?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think there's going to be at least one, probably, though, two games are going to get away from somebody.
Do you have specific predictions?
Well, I may save that for tomorrow.
Okay. I got you.
But I'm just saying I unfortunately feel like a couple of these games probably going to get away from somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, that tends to happen in the divisional round.
You look at the matchups. I'm going to say this, though. I like Seattle. Somebody asked me what my upset pick would be, my lock.
Interesting.
Seattle.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly do that tomorrow in Pick 6. That'll do it for our show today. You have a great rest of your Thursday. We will talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to close out the week. We'll see you then.